It was the middle of February, the kind of cold that doesn't just bite your skin, it settles deep into your marrow and stays there for a week. I was standing in the middle of a flooded goat pen at 3 in the morning, holding a flashlight with dying batteries and watching 6 months of planning and $3,000 in infrastructure literally wash away in a flash flood. I remember looking down at my soaked boots and thinking, I am not a homesteader, I'm just a person playing dress up in the mud. That night wasn't just a bad day, it was a total system collapse. And if you're listening to this because you want the dream, the rolling hills, the heavy harvest baskets, the quiet mornings with a steaming cup of coffee, you need to hear the sound of those dying batteries first. You need to hear about the moments where I failed so spectacularly that I almost walked away from it all. Because social media is a lie. It's a filtered, cropped version of a very messy reality. If we're going to build a relationship here, I have to be honest with you. This is my 5 biggest homestead failures, building trust through honesty. If you can learn from my bruises, maybe you won't have to bleed quite as much as I did. The first thing they don't tell you when you buy the land is that your ego is your most expensive livestock. You think you're going to outrun nature. You think you can work harder than a parasite or a drought. My first massive failure was the infrastructure illusion. I spent my entire first year budget on a beautiful Pinterest-worthy chicken coop. It had cedar siding, a shingled roof, and designer hardware. I felt like a real farmer because I had a building that looked like a magazine cover, but I didn't invest in a perimeter fence. I didn't invest in a livestock guardian dog, and I certainly didn't invest in a backup water system. The old way, the way most beginners do it, is focusing on the visible symbols of success. We want the stuff that looks good in a photo. The farm fresh way, the hard-learned way, is realizing that a homestead is a biological engine, not a landscaping project. One Tuesday afternoon, a single stray dog from 3 miles over found a gap in my aesthetic fencing and destroyed 42 meat birds in 20 minutes. I didn't just lose the birds. I lost the feed costs, the months of labor, and the freezer security I was counting on for the winter. I sat on the grass and cried over those birds, realizing I had built a palace for them, but no fortress. You cannot decorate your way out of poor planning. If your foundation is built on how it looks instead of how it survives, nature will eventually send you the bill, and nature doesn't offer payment plans. My second failure was the scale trap. I call it the more is better fever. When you get your first success, maybe your first flat of tomatoes or your first gallon of milk, you get a hit of dopamine that is more dangerous than any drug. You think, if one cow is good, 5 must be great. I went from 0 to 60 in one season. I added bees, meat rabbits, a high tunnel greenhouse, and 3 pigs all in the same 4-month window. I was working 14-hour days, and I wasn't doing a single one of those things well. The bees died because I didn't have time to check for mites. The rabbits got ear canker because I was too tired to deep clean the hutch. The pigs broke out and ate the entire greenhouse harvest because I rushed the fencing to get to the next task. The psychology of the scale trap is rooted in insecurity. We feel like we have to do all of it to be legit. But true homesteading is about mastery, not accumulation. I had to learn to say no to my own ambition. I had to learn that one thriving garden bed is worth more than 5 acres of weeds and half-dead plants. If you can't manage your backyard systems today, adding a 40-acre back 40 will only multiply your misery. You have to earn the right to scale. The third failure is the one that still stings the most, the genetic shortcut. I wanted the heritage breeds. I wanted the fancy, rare, high-production animals that the books raved about. I bought high-strung dairy goats from a breeder 3 states away because the stats were incredible. I brought them to my humid, rocky hillside and they fell apart. They couldn't handle the local parasites. They couldn't handle the forage. I spent more on vet bills and specialized supplements in 6 months than the goats were worth. I was fighting the land instead of listening to it. The old way is trying to force a specific breed or crop into a climate where it doesn't belong because you like the idea of it. The farm fresh way is looking at what is already thriving in your county. It's talking to the old timers at the feed store and asking what they've been raising for 40 years. It's not as cool to have the common local breed, but those animals stay alive while the fancy ones are breaking your heart and your bank account. Honesty means admitting that your dream breed might be a nightmare for your specific zip code. Now we get into the granular stuff, the how-to of failing correctly. My fourth failure was the information overload paralysis. I spent 3 years researching. I had 3-ring binders full of charts. I knew the theoretical NPK ratios for every vegetable known to man. But when I actually put a seed in the ground, I didn't know how to recognize a cucumber beetle until my entire patch was wilted. I was an expert on paper and a failure in the dirt. The pitfall here is thinking that consumption is the same as creation. You can watch 1,000 videos on how to butcher a chicken, but until you have the knife in your hand and the weight of the bird in your lap, you know nothing. My failure was waiting for perfect knowledge before taking action. The result? I missed 3 growing seasons because I was afraid of making a mistake. Guess what? I made the mistakes anyway. The difference is, I could have made them 3 years earlier and been 3 years closer to the solution. Don't let your research become a hiding place. Start small. Start messy. But for heaven's sake, start. My 5th and final big failure, the lone wolf myth. I thought I had to do it all by myself to prove I was self-sufficient. I didn't want to ask the neighbor for help with the tractor. I didn't want to admit to the local gardening club that my squash was dying. I carried the weight of the entire operation on my own shoulders until I snapped. I ended up with a repetitive motion injury in my shoulder and a level of burnout that made me hate the smell of fresh earth. Self-sufficiency is a lie. What we are actually looking for is community sufficiency. No one can do it all. The moment I started being honest about my failures was the moment my neighbors started showing up with tools, advice, and a hand to lift the heavy end of the log. Building trust through honesty isn't just a catchy title, it's a survival strategy. When you admit you don't know what you're doing, you open the door for someone who does to help you. I want you to close your eyes for a second and imagine your homestead, but don't imagine the sunset. Imagine the morning after a storm. Imagine the broken fence and the empty coop. If you can look at that image and still feel a spark of let's fix this, then you have what it takes. Success on the homestead isn't the absence of failure, it's the ability to pivot after the failure happens. I'm standing here today with a freezer full of food, a healthy herd, and a garden that actually feeds me, not because I'm a genius, but because I was willing to be a fool for a few years first. I want you to take one zero-cost task today. I want you to go outside and identify one weak point in your current setup. Don't fix it yet, just look at it with brutal honesty. Is it a gate that doesn't quite latch? Is it a pile of someday projects that is actually just a pile of trash? Acknowledge it. Name it. That is the first step toward a system that actually works. Next time, we're going to talk about the invisible assets, the things you can't buy at the store, but will determine if you're still farming 5 years from now. Until then, keep your boots by the door and your heart open to the lessons the land is trying to teach you, even the painful ones.